being together. I've got to tell you that one of the most important things in our lives is something that we tend to forget to do. We tend to put on the back burner, as it would. We're in a discipleship class over at our Charlie and Diane Brown's house called the 2-7 Series, or Growing Strong God's Family. And one of the things that we go through is a prioritization, a challenge to make sure that the things that are the important things are the things that get done. And like bringing our Bibles to church. Especially those things of being able to take the time to pray. And I've got to admit that I wish that this had been a priority in my life of prayer as it should be. And I've got to stand before you this morning saying, this is an area that God is stretching me in, even at this time, as I'm desiring to be more of a prayer warrior for God. And so it's a challenge to meet with the demands of the day and avoid getting distracted. And I believe that one of the best things that we can do is make our priorities of prayer and make sure that part of our life doesn't get squeezed out. Let's take our time. We're going to be in the book of Philippians chapter 1. If you look through your Bible in the New Testament, the book of Philippians kind of almost right in the center of the New Testament. You'll find books like Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians starts with PH instead of the F that it sounds like. This is where we're going to be studying throughout the next several weeks in our time going into the holidays and coming out of the holidays, because the book of Philippians is just a book to provide for us instructions on how to have joy, how that we can deal with these issues of life. You know, as I mentioned over and again, this ought to be the time when everybody has a smile on their face and excited, because this is just the joyous season, isn't it? But if you're like me, you've come around and you've seen some folks that don't have a whole lot of smiles on their faces. They're just concentrating so hard on the things that they have to do, getting ready either for a meal for family to come or trying to figure out that perfect gift and all those types of things. So we need to be challenged, even in the time in which we call the joyous season, to be reminded to be having joy as a priority of our life. And the Apostle Paul, as he emphasized in the book of Philippians, he talked about the fact that he remembered the people of Philippi. We talked earlier about the different individuals that he was able to remember in Philippi, whether it be the Lydia, or whether it was the jailkeeper, or the young gal who was possessed of a demon, and all these different individuals he had run into, and how he said he was thankful for every remembrance of them. And then he said he prayed for them. So I thought, as we were coming to this point, that we would talk about the issue of prayer. And Paul, I believe, as he's talking about what he reflected on and what he prayed for, gives us somewhat of an outline, if you would, or a list, kind of like a Christmas list, if you would, of things that we can pray for others. Because one of the joyous things that can happen is to be in the habit of praying for other people. There's something special about that when we get involved with what is called intercessory prayer. That's like standing in the gap for other individuals and praying for them. Let's look at the passage that we're going to highlight, praying for others this holiday season, Philippians 1, 4 through 11. The first thing I note is that we're to pray for the partnership of others. Look what it says here in verse 4. It says, "Always in every prayer of mine, making request of you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." The Apostle Paul is making a great emphasis on the fellowship that they have. In a sense, that partnership that they had together. And the key thing that they had here was a common bind. That fellowship is not in the fact that they maybe enjoyed the similar sports. Fellowship wasn't the fact that they enjoyed similar foods. The fellowship was in the gospel, in the fact that Jesus Christ was that common bind between them. And in another portion of Scripture, the Apostle Paul shares what that gospel is. It's the truth that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. That's key to remember, for our sins. He didn't die as an example. He didn't die for a worthy cause. He died as a sacrificial lamb for us, in our place. That He took the place for us. Christ died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and then He rose again. That we no longer have, it wasn't the fact He stayed in the grave and was there and stayed there, but He rose again. That's what we celebrate actually every Sunday, because that emphasizes the first day of the week that Easter or Resurrection Sunday, as you may call it, focuses on that first day of the week, Jesus is alive and He's risen. That's why we sing the songs that we sing. We don't sing songs that talk about Christ being on a cross or Christ being in a grave. Those things were important and they're done. The fact is He's living, He's alive, and He reigns, He is King, and He's our friend. And several other things along with that. And that's the type of thing that Paul is saying when he's praying for them. He's rejoicing, but he's also thinking about that, the fact that they have this partnership in the gospel. This very important thing. So that when we become saved, we're in saved, meaning trusting in that gospel, become a child of God, we start a partnership of working together. The Bible calls it various different things. One might be being the body of Christ. In other words, we're all in the body and Christ is ahead. Another is called the church, a called out group of people that function together to accomplish the things that God wants. We are to fellowship together and you have that common bind. So when we think of praying for each other, we ought to think about the importance of praying that people will continue in partnership. That's one of the reasons we enjoy coming to church, I hope, right? That we can be together with other believers and have a time of fellowship. Thanksgiving time is a wonderful time to get together with family. But for me, probably even over and above that, is the opportunity to get together with my church family and individuals that I have that common bond in Jesus Christ. That I know that when I talk about Jesus Christ, they know what I'm talking about. When we talk about the fact that we are going to spend eternity in heaven, we are talking on the same page. We have that common denominator, if you're into math, that it's the same thing. That we can rejoice together. And what a joy that is. And just as a sidelight, if you're interested in developing friendships and relationships and this concept of having partnerships, whether it be in a husband-wife dating relationship or whether just friends, think about this. Is the individual you're pursuing a relationship one that you can be partnered with in the gospel? Or is it always a stretch in that area? Is it always an issue of conflict, or that's the part we can't talk about? What a shame it would be not to talk about the things we've sung about already today. The joys of what Jesus Christ has done in our life, the joyful things, and the friendship that we can have with them. So the Apostle Paul, as he reflected back on these great friends in Philippi, he prayed for them, he was thankful for them, for the friendship, or the partnership, or the fellowship that they had in the gospel, that common bond that they had in Jesus Christ. But second of all, he went and talked about that partnership. He says in verse 7, as we skip down just a verse, he says, "Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ." A little bit of background. Paul talks about the issue of chains. Now, the reason he talked about chains is because Paul was imprisoned for preaching about Jesus. Back then, it was not legal to go around and preach about Jesus Christ because that was an offense to the government at that time, because the government was God. The government was God. Caesar was God. And for you to have another God that you actually exalt over him, because a believer in Christ believed that there was only one God, and that's Jesus Christ. And so there was a major conflict there. And so as Paul was one of the leading teachers at that time, he was in prison. So as he's in prison, he's writing this. And he's talking about his chains and the fact that he is in the chains and he's defending and confirming the gospel. And I like what he says, "We are all partakers of his grace." The emphasis I see here is that they're not only partners in the fact that they are partners in God's grace and salvation, but they're also partners in service. There's nothing more encouraging than to be involved with individuals working together. And as we pray for one another, we ought to be praying that people will find their niche in service. As you think of your prayer list of other believers and other individuals, first of all, you want to be praying that individuals come to know Christ and you have that partnership in salvation. But second of all, as people become into the family of God, we need to find a niche, a place to serve God, a place where they can be involved so that we can be partners together in that area of service. And that we can have a common burden. Praying that we will have oneness, boldness. One of the things that was typical of the early church is that Jesus Christ had prayed ahead of time And you find it recorded in John chapter 17, and it was called by many prayer of Jesus or whatever for his disciples. And the emphasis there in John chapter 17 is he goes through it. He prays for his disciples, not only the ones he has there, but the ones that will come later. And he prayed for them to have the same oneness that God and he had. And so the desire was this unity. Now the purpose of this unity along with that goes that Jesus said in that prayer, he said, I've accomplished that which you have wanted me to do. I have done your will, God, as he prayed up to the Father. So it should be our prayer as we develop our prayer life for other individuals, and we're trying to think of the various things to pray for. And I think we ought to pray for individuals' physical needs. I think we ought to pray for people's financial needs. I think we ought to pray for needs they might have in particular relationship type things. But you know, Paul here is setting a precedent on what types of things we ought to pray for. One of those things is to make sure they can have that partnership in salvation. The second thing is to have a partnership in regard to this area of service, and to have a oneness, and to have a common burden for other individuals. And as we pray for each other to have that, it's neat to see how God brings that common burden together, and great things start happening. One of the things, if you study in the Old Testament, just right after the flood, there was a group of people who got together and they stayed in the city. They called the city Babel. And what they did was they thought, wow, we've got all these things in common. Let's build a great tower, a great pillar to reach up into heaven. Their common ground was enough to allow them to accomplish great things. And God looked down and said, they're going in the wrong direction. They're not depending upon me. Their common ground is their selves and their own abilities. Our prayer should be like that and also unlike that. It should be like that in the sense that we ought to have a common desire and a desire to go forth with God and accomplish great things for Him, but it should be with God, not to go outside of God. For they were trying to build this tower to reach God without God's help, and God, as a result, confounded their languages so they couldn't understand each other. And they disappeared from that place as they joined with each other and went on their own way. But God's prayer for us as partnership is that we might have that unity, harmony, understanding the same burden, the same goal, moving toward the same goals. And we'll talk more about that in future messages as we look at what should be our heartbeat in regard to serving God. Well, let's look at something else. We pray for the partnership of other individuals that might be persons that we want to see have God work in their life. But let's look at the second thing. Pray for their progress. This is an encouraging verse. And I hope that if you are accustomed to underlining your Bible, this is a good verse to have highlighted. It says this, being confident, this is verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. How many of you here have some unfinished projects at home? Huh? If you came over to my house, you'd see unfinished projects all over the place. I am the king of unfinished projects. We've got little things. And I love to keep them unfinished. I don't know why there is. It's hard for me to get closure to them. But we've got holes in our walls at different places. And we've got things that are just almost put together. But unfinished, incomplete. And you know what's hard is, it gets discouraging. Because although I may joke about the fact that I leave them unfinished, there is a bit down deep inside that I wish that project was done. I wish it was completed. And the reality is it isn't. And so it becomes a frustration. And I don't know about you, I've got in our front room, we've got some places where we had taken an old fireplace out, and all the bricks. I mean, there's tons of bricks that we took out. Well, that was great, but when we took it out, there was holes behind there where they decided to run the wire. They just said, made a hole and stuffed it through. And so I got all these holes that I've got to fill up. And every time I come into that room, I see that and I go, ooh, unfinished project. I'll have to get to that one of these days, and get working on it. Well, you think about ourselves. And I don't know about you, but I look at myself in regard to whether it's in the intensity of my prayer life or dealing with issues that of having more fruit of the Spirit in my life. And I look and I say, I am not complete. I am not finished. There's a lot that needs to be done. I'm still under construction. There's so many things that need to change in my life to be like Jesus Christ. And that I can look at myself sometimes after a day and I can say, boy, I am an unfinished product. You know, I've got holes all over me that need to be patched up. And there's things that I need to have done. But you know, the encouraging thing about it is that God says here, He says, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That gives me the comfort to know that the progress in our life is God's promise. God is willing to continue to complete those things in our life. When He bring us into this world as a new creation, that's what happens when you trust Christ as your Savior. The Bible says you become a new creature, a new creation. It's like starting all over again. It's like going through the baby steps and all that type of stuff. And when we see our little babies, and some of you have children that are kind of at the toddler stage right now, and how many of you have your Christmas tree on a table or something? You know what I mean? They're wanting to get into everything, and they're just barely able to get around one moment. Next thing, they're into everything. And that's what we are as Christians, as we continue to grow. We're not completed. We're not like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're becoming like Him, but we're not completed. And God gives us the encouragement that His goal, His desire, is for us to continue to be completed and to continue to progress and to continue to go on. So our prayer for each other is that God will continue to do what He has promised to do. Praying that God will work in our lives, that we'll continue to grow and be more like Jesus Christ. Because that's what the ultimate time is going to be. If you think you're going to be perfect here on earth, it's not going to happen. Now, you can get better, believe me. Some of you can get a lot better. Not just even. You can get better. You become more like Christ while you're here. But the glorification, now that's a term that's used in the Bible. And so you find it in Romans. That glorification, where we become like Christ, will take place when we get to heaven. That's a time we ought to look forward to. And God has given us kind of as a promise to us that we have this opportunity to continue to go on. And the end product is in God's hands. And so we can pray for God's progress in the lives of other individuals and the excitement that there is. Now, there's a second part of that, though. As I look at verse 9 in the first part, and he says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more." We had a couple sermons already on love, but just to go back on the emphasis of how we ought to love one another, is that the Apostle Paul is praying for these people at Philippi. He's praying for them that their love may abound. Their love might grow. Folks, the only way that we're going to become more like Christ is we need to take the primary characteristic of Christ, that of love, and allow it to grow in our lives. And one of the prayers that the Apostle Paul had for these people is that the love might abound more and more in their life. That you can actually grow more love. That you can love even more than what you're loving now. And what a great prayer to have for other individuals is that they might be able to grow to become more like Christ. And that their love may abound. And that they might be able to have a stronger relationship. Progress is our priority. It ought to be the thing that we want to do. It ought to be the fact that our love ought to want to become stronger and stronger. And as we look at 3 weeks ago, the purpose of love is giving out to other individuals. Love is that act of giving out and to provide for others and looking after their needs more than our own personal needs. That's the type of thing the Apostle Paul was praying for them. And folks, when we pray for people that way, and I know we might do that, we might pray that our children might be more loving towards us. We might pray that our spouse will love us more. Now, bear in mind, that is somewhat of a selfish prayer, okay? That we're wanting them to love us so life will be easier for us. But it shouldn't be our motivation. We should pray that the love ought to abound more and more other people's lives so that they can have the fruit, the wonderful blessings that come from God. Because the more that we love, the more we're like Christ. And the more we're like Christ, the more we will love. And it's a kind of like just going on a parallel road. And the more emphasis we have love in our lives, the more we'll be like Jesus Christ. The third thing we want to be thinking about in regard to our prayer list, as he says in verse 9, verse B, he says that you pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment And then verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent. That emphasis of a perception. Perception is being able to see some things. I don't know about you, but I am not very good at finding things at times. Have you ever been looking for something only to discover that it was just only a few feet around? And we used to, you know, Alan will agree with that. Have you ever heard the expression, if it was a snake, it would have bit me, kind of a deal? And there are just so many times that my perception, and I don't know why, it's just like I'm looking through things and not seeing where I should be seeing. And God's encouraging Paul to pray that they might be able to have that knowledge and that discernment, that perception, so that they can make the more excellent choices. Perception for our decisions. That we pray that people might know God's Word, know what God's will is, so that they can make the proper choices. As Paul was praying for his friends, one of the things he prayed for is not only that their love may abound, but that they might also increase in this area of knowledge and understanding and discernment, that they might be able to make those proper decisions in their life. One of the things that I have found, it's not so much the issue of determining what is good and what is bad. I think that's sometimes for us that are good church goers like we are, doesn't seem to be the problem. The problem seems to be discerning between what is good and what is best. What is the best thing that I can do with my time? What is the best way that I can use my life? And I think the Apostle Paul has given us the pattern here that one of the best things that we can do is have a pattern of prayer for other individuals. Apostle Paul, just right away in his introduction to these people, first of all, talks about the remembrance he has for them, and then he talks about how much he prays for them and how much of a desire he has on his heart for them, that they might continue to grow and become Lord, like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that our prayer might be that others might be able to be strong in this area of knowledge and discernment, that they might be able to make not only just good choices, but the best choices with their time and with what they might do. Another perception that we can pray for is found in the remainder of that verse. It says that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Here we not only have the perception for ourselves so that we can make the right choices, but how about the perception of others? What is it that's going on in our lives? What is it that we can have prayed for us, that can help us to have an impact in the lives of others? Look what he's praying. He's praying that they might be sincere or have purity, and that they might be without offense or have a good testimony, and also that they might have the fruits of righteousness. So here you have purity, good testimony, and fruits of righteousness. All these things are things that other people see. And as we pray for fellow believers and pray for them to continue to be stronger as we come along this Christmas season, we ought to be praying that God will continue to make clear to them what those things are in their decision-making process, so that they might also have a perception to others or a testimony to others of purity and of fruitfulness, and to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. As we bring some of these things together and we look at this concept of prayer, and the reason I brought up these ideals is because tonight we're going to go over a prayer seminar. I mentioned this earlier. I want to encourage you to come back at 6. We'll be more in a seminar type of a format, and we'll be going over some of the key things in regard to prayer, what is important in prayer in regard to praying for others and praying for things for ourselves and thanksgiving and praise and all those types of things. Also, we'll be looking at ways in which we can be more effective in our prayer life as group, individuals. What can we do at Blair Ridge Baptist Church to have a greater impact in the lives of others? And this purpose of this morning's message is to remind us, as the Apostle Paul did, that one of the key things that we can do is be interceding, standing in the gap, praying for other individuals, whether it be for the physical needs or for the financial needs. But you can see here, the Apostle Paul is emphasizing the spiritual needs, those things that help us become like Christ, those things that are critical in our life, those things sometimes we forget to pray for, those things that sometimes that just kind of go by the wayside, and that we so dearly need, and each one of us need. Each one of us need to become more like Christ. Each one of us need to serve with a common burden. Each one of us need to be fruitful and be showing that fruits of righteousness that are like Christ and have wisdom and discernment. So I encourage you as we look at the concept of bringing these all together, that we learn to be a doer of the Word. We take all these things concerning our prayer life and what we're going to pray for others, and we reflect them back even upon ourselves. Number one, make your list. Make your list. Make a list of those things. Maybe a list in this way. List of individuals that you would want to pray for that need prayer. One of the lists you can use is our directory. Church directory has our friends and family there as you continually pray for them. And think about some of these things. Maybe you're going to pray for people's perception or pray for their progress or pray for their partnership. And just to be regularly bringing these individuals up in prayer. And second of all, what we want to do is we want to check that list. You know, make your list and check it twice. You ever hear that phrase, making your list, checking it twice? Check it twice. Check it once for those individuals you want to be praying for, but check it a second time for yourself. As you look at the things that the Apostle Paul prayed for other individuals, look at how critical it is to pray for those same things for yourself. Pray that you might continue to develop a fellowship with other people, that we may not fall back and lose sight of getting involved with other believers, that we may not get out of the habit of serving God with a common bond and a common burden. Praying that we might have a good progress, growing in our love. Pray that we might be able to have a good perception of making right decisions. And going through these different things. Check it once for your others and praying for them. And check it once for yourself as you kind of evaluate your own life. And we want to encourage you that prayer, a critical area, an area that many times becomes put off in the corner of some room somewhere and doesn't get the forefront of our lives, that we, when we do pray, remember to pray for others. And when we do pray for others, remember to pray for their spiritual growth. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Our Father, as we come to you, we do so realizing that there is so much more that can be said on this issue of prayer, so much more that can help us to realize that we ought to have intercession for each other. And Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray, Lord, that you might continue to help us to be better equipped, to be prayers, to be ones who come to your throne. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be instruments for your honor and glory. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We ask